other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us today. And my name is Jeff Cavins, and I'll be with you for the next hour. The purpose of the show is really to talk about evangelization here in this great archdiocese of the Twin Cities, St. Paul and Minneapolis. And today we're going to be talking about Catholic education. And I want to just tell you right off the bat, if you don't have kids in Catholic school, do not change the dial. Don't go away, because there might be ways that your kids end up in Catholic schools. Or grandpa, grandma, there might be a way to help your grandchildren get more perfectly formed to Jesus Christ. Later on the show here today, we're going to be talking to two headmasters of schools. We're going to be talking to Mike McGinty, who's the headmaster over at Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. They have a preschool through eighth grade. And then we're going to move all the way out to the western suburbs, and we're going to talk to Dr. Todd Flanders, who is the headmaster at Providence Academy. In fact, we're going to go live into one of his classrooms today, and we're going to talk to a couple of the students. We're going to find out a little bit about what Catholic education means to them. Well, we just came off that big women's conference at Epiphany, by the way, just a couple of weeks ago, and we're still kind of in the afterglow there and hearing about the changes that have taken place in women's lives. I want to point you to the future now, and that's going to be at St. Thomas, University of St. Thomas, the Anderson Field House, March 21st. What is it? It's the big men's conference. And our own Father Rich Simons is going to be there, and he's going to be a keynote, and Archbishop Nienstedt will be there. I'll be there. We got Father Bear and Matthew Christoph, and we have some special music for the men. And so we want to encourage you to go to our website. If you're listening right now and you're a man, you need to be there. If you are a woman, your husband needs to be there, or your boyfriend, or whoever it might be. But you can go to the website, archspm.org, and get all the information for the upcoming men's conference. Let's talk just for a moment, before we take our first break, about Catholic education. You know that we're living in times right now where there are so many worldviews out there. You can turn the television on, and you can watch talk shows with flashy talk hosts talking about their worldview, what they think about family, what they think about marriage, what they think about sexuality, and all of the big topics out there. But the question you have to ask yourself is, do you agree with their worldview? Do you agree with their worldview on marriage and raising children? Because today in the world, they have the biggest voice. And their voice is on television, it's on the internet, it's on, you know, books at Barnes & Noble. And in the midst of all of these voices, the Catholic Church is the most powerful voice in terms of speaking the truth into this culture. And our Catholic schools are a great, great avenue to bring the worldview of Jesus Christ into your home, into the lives of your children. You know, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was walking the earth with his disciples, he said something to them that is very, very powerful. He said to them in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And then he said in verse 29 something very important. I think it really is important for Catholic education. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble." Well, what does he mean by that? Take my yoke upon you. Well, in the first century, when a rabbi would call young men to become his disciples, the invitation was really twofold. The first thing that rabbi would say to that young man was, "Lech acharai," in Hebrew, which means "come follow me." And then he would say, "Take my yoke upon you." And that literally means take my worldview. See life the way I see life. Now, parents, I'm a parent. I have three girls. And if you have children, you have a responsibility to perpetuate this worldview and to share this worldview with your children. But here's the problem. You're competing with a lot of voices out in the world. And I want to suggest to you that Catholic education is a very, very powerful way for your children to learn the worldview of Jesus. Because when they grow up, they're going to exercise the worldview that they have laid hold of, that they have said is mine, and that's going to color their marriage. That's going to color their finances. That's going to color their ethics at work, their morality, all of it. And so you can really give your kids an edge by giving them a Catholic education. And I think this is part of evangelization too. You know, part of evangelizing our children is putting them in an atmosphere where they can hear this worldview and they have other students that are like-minded and they can encourage each other. Now, my three girls have all gone to Tolentino Grace over in Fridley. And when they were younger, we weren't in the Twin Cities. We were in Alabama. But our oldest daughter went to a Catholic school down in Birmingham, Alabama. So we've had our girls in Catholic schools and are very grateful for that. And we'd like to talk to you about your kids today. So we're going to be talking about Catholic education. When we return, we'll talk with Mike McGinty. And Mike McGinty is the headmaster over at the school of the Church of the Epiphany. And they have a great, great, great school. Father Duffner is the pastor over there, and he's been on the show several times. So stay tuned, especially you grandparents. Stay tuned. There might be an opportunity for your grandchildren. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
He did the dishes, rubbed my feet, surprised me with tulips, took me to musicals, even though he didn't like them. Carried my bags while I did the shopping. Held my hand. He died of cancer 4 years ago. And because he loved me, I can stay in our home. I can be here for our children. I can afford to pay for their college education. I can worry about the other things in life besides money. He still loves me. And still shows it.
Life insurance is about love. Show your love this month. Catholic United Financial. Life insurance, retirement products, IRAs.
Catholic.
Who we are.
United.
What we are.
Financial.
What we do.
Catholic United Financial. On the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. In the South Minneapolis, Richfield, and Bloomington area, contact Ryan Selleck.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we're talking about Catholic education today in the Twin Cities. There are many high schools in the Twin Cities and elementary and junior high schools around the Archdiocese that are doing a great job at forming our children today. And we have the privilege of talking to Mike McGinty, who's the headmaster at Church of the Epiphany. They have a preschool through eighth grade program that has actually been going for quite some time. And maybe you graduated from there, but there's a lot of great people that have come out of that school. And Mike, I want to welcome you to the Rediscover Hour today.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I've known you, Mike, for, I don't know, 15 years or so, and when I first met you, you were working in the secular world. I mean, you had a job, a lot of travel and business and so forth, and in the midst of your career, at the time when most people would say, hey, these are your money-making years, you walked away from all that, went back to school to do what?
I did. I worked in the corporate world for 22 years. I had a very successful career. And in the midst of discerning about my career, I felt a strong call to return to school and teach in a Catholic school or work in a Catholic school. And I really believed that God was calling me to do that. I have six children, and I felt it was important to participate in help informing those, my children, and I thought I could do that also with other children as well. And so I did. With the blessing of my wife, I made that change. And today I'm grateful that I'm able to work in a Catholic school.
And you're the headmaster at Church of the Epiphany. That's preschool through eighth. And it's a great school, and Father Duffner is a great pastor over there. We want to talk about Catholic education today. And, you know, when you look at a Catholic school, whether it be elementary, junior high, high school, whatever, and you compare it to a public education, what do you tell people is the basic difference between Catholic school and public school?
We get that question a lot, and I talk to parents almost on a daily basis about it when they come in to look at the school or consider a Catholic education. And what I like to share with them is the public schools do provide a good academic education. The state of Minnesota has fabulous public schools, but what they do is educate our children at the exclusion of the view of eternity. Mm-hmm. It is an education that does not educate the whole child. They're missing a very valuable piece, which is the education of a soul. And what we can do in a Catholic school is help form that child and not only prepare them for the world, but prepare them for eternity.
Okay. Now, when you're looking at the difference between a Catholic school and a public school, one of the things that is obviously different is the money, is that public schools are funded publicly. It doesn't cost anything to send your kids to a fairly good school, learn science, biology, and math, and so forth. And Catholic education costs money. How are parents paying for that? You've got probably a lot of stories. How are they making the payments when it comes to putting their kids through? Because some families, good Catholic families, have 3, 4, 5, 6 kids.
Correct. Finances is a piece of consideration when you send your kid to a Catholic school. But what I like to share with every parent is if you have the desire to send your child to a Catholic education, we want you to pursue sending your kids to a Catholic school. There are avenues of earning money to send your kids to Catholic schools. There's financial aid that is available. Every Catholic school provides tuition assistance and really tries to meet the needs of every family so that they can send their children to that school.
And there's probably some creative methods of paying also. I'm thinking about a few years ago when the Metrodome was still up and running, I would run into parents that had day jobs, and they had 2 or 3 kids in Catholic school, maybe one in elementary and one in junior high and one in high school, and there they were flipping burgers at the Metrodome, and I'd ask, what are you doing here? And he said, I got kids to put through school, and there was great sacrifice.
There is great sacrifice involved for some people to send their kids to a Catholic school, and there are very creative ways to earn that money so you can afford a Catholic education for your children. One of the ways is just what you mentioned. Some schools provide avenues to work at Minnesota Vikings games, at Gopher games, at Twins games. That's one avenue. There's also a way to participate at some schools through a program called Script, which is buying some cards for some common places that we go and spend money, and then you get a return, 5 to 10% of that revenue comes back to you. So there's many different ways. And one of the ways that many people are able to send their kids is through the help of grandparents as mm-hmm. well. We're blessed to have some very faithful grandparents that help and assist in sending their kids to school, and we're very grateful for that as well.
Well, let's return back to the basic core of the education, Catholic education. You know, we're all about evangelization in the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. And one of the complaints that I have heard from people around the country is that children oftentimes are catechized, meaning that they come to know some of the basics of the faith through a catechism program, whatever it might be, but that they skip over the evangelization process. And the evangelization process, or the entire flow of growth in the Catholic Church, even in canon law, is that people are pre-evangelized and that is that their heart is prepared really to hear the message of the gospel, and then they're evangelized. They come into contact with Jesus and hopefully a meaningful relationship, a yes to Jesus, and then they're catechized. They begin the formation of this is what we believe, and we have the four pillars of the catechism. But one of the things I hear parents say is that yes, our kids were catechized to a certain degree, but not evangelized. They never really met Christ and said yes to Christ. What part does Catholic education play in the evangelization of children?
Catholic education plays a huge role in the evangelization of children. It's our duty, it's our obligation, it's our responsibility to bring Christ to the children, a Christ that's already present. This isn't a Christ that is new. This is a Christ that has been given us. We were introduced to him at baptism, and it is our responsibility in a Catholic school to continue to bring Christ to them and make them presents. We do that, Catholic schools do that in a variety of ways. At Epiphany, we of course have religious instruction every single day, but we also have adoration every single week for each one of our classes. Kindergarten through eighth grade visit the Blessed Sacrament on a weekly basis. Our middle school, on First Fridays, we have benediction, a reflection, adoration, and confession on a monthly basis. These are powerful experiences where we bring Christ to the children and help evangelize them.
We're talking with Mike McGinty. He's headmaster at Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids about Catholic education. And Mike, I think it was 2 years ago, I went down to Kansas, and there was a church or the school right outside of Kansas City, St. James Academy. Very, very impressed with the school. One of the things that I noticed about that school was that there was this very, very dynamic, it's the best word I can describe, dynamic relationship between the parents of the students and the faculty of the school. And since going out there, I actually read in canon law, in canon 796, that part of canon law says that it is incumbent upon the parents as part of their marriage to have a relationship with the school. And I'm wondering what you think about that is how much of the formula for success comes down to the parents' involvement?
The formula of success with parents is huge. That participation of a parent with the school is critical. We depend on the parents. We partner with the parents on the education of their children. Our hope is that the education and the evangelization of the children doesn't stop at the end of the day, at the end of the school day, that when they leave, they go home, and they're continually being formed by their parents. That's something we're supposed to do as parents, is form our children and teach them the Catholic faith. So it is together that we do that with the parents.
So the parents, you know, of course, the church teaches that the parents are the first catechists, the first formators of their children. And that's something that we've taken very seriously in our family, that if we're going to see our girls grow up and to be formed, Catholic school is not the silver bullet, is it? As far as you pay the tuition, you send your kids there, and they're going to come back just completely transformed no matter what happens at home.
Right. It's not the silver bullet. It really does depend on the participation of the parents. They play a critical role. And we're called to do that first and foremost as parents, is form our children. And we can't just rely on the school to do that. The school has to partner with us.
In this age that we're living in, Mike, with social media, phones, and the internet, are educators finding this technology more of a hurdle, or is it more of a benefit when it comes to educating children today?
It is a benefit. It can also be a hurdle. So, like many things, it is something that must be done in moderation and must be done in a very intentional way so that it is not be abused. I just read a statistic the other day that our children are spending 25 to 30 hours a week of screen time.
Amazing.
You know, when you think about the smartphone, the Xbox, the TV, their computers, their tablets, 25 to 30 hours. Mm-hmm. The average child, if they're not going to Catholic schools and attending a CCD program, is spending about an hour and a half a week getting catechized, and they're spending about 30 hours a week in a Catholic school. They're spending more time on their tablets, smartphones, etc. So we have to learn how to use those tools effectively and help with the evangelization of the kids.
When measuring an education, I'm curious as to what you, as a headmaster of one of the finest Catholic schools in the Twin Cities, I'm curious as to how do you measure success? You know, when you're looking at your school, you've got preschool through 8th grade, you've got all these little souls that every single one of them is going to live for eternity. And that has to be something that weighs on you at times, is that these aren't just little kids that are going to be here and gone tomorrow, but they're going to be living somewhere forever and ever and ever. And how do you, as a headmaster working with your staff, measure success?
It is measured when they leave our school. We measure it, of course, yearly, daily, weekly, and all that. But really, when our kids leave our school, the goal is that they've learned to read, to write, and to think. Mm-hmm. And if they can do those three things formed with a worldwide Catholic view, we think they're prepared regardless of where they go to high school, because we are a K-8 school. But more importantly, they're prepared for the rest of their life, not just to go out and do something in the work world.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a special program for gifted and talented students? Because I know a lot of parents, when they look at private schools, whether it's a magnet school or a Catholic school, they're saying, well, and every parent thinks their kids are gifted and talented, so don't get me wrong, but how do Catholic schools compensate for that, or how do they work with obviously gifted and talented students?
Oftentimes parents do come to me and they have questions about a gifted and talented program, because the public schools often have a gifted and talented program. The reality, Jeff, is that I believe our Catholic schools do provide a gifted and talented education. We have smaller class sizes. We have more individualized instruction, differentiated much differently than the Catholic schools, and it includes a Catholic worldwide view. So the majority of our kids are getting a gifted and talented program, and it's proven out in the world, or when we compare ourselves to the public schools on standardized testing, traditionally, consistently, we have outperformed them.
You have. That was going to be my next question. In the scoring system, you know, how much higher do the Catholic schools perform than the public schools? Is it significant?
It varies, but what I can say is that consistently we are outperforming our schools. 98% of our schools, kids nationwide, go on to college. Mm-hmm. That is a statistic that is the public schools cannot come close to.
Well, let's jump into the trenches here just for a moment. You're a principal, a headmaster of a school. A lot of our listeners have kids in Catholic schools around the Twin Cities. If you, Mike, could sit down at a restaurant right across from the two parents and to say to them, look, here's how you can really, really help to make these dollars go the way, you know, and produce what you want in your children, here's what I really need from you. What would you say? Looking them right in the eye, what would you say to them?
I'd ask for their prayers first, and then I would ask them for their help in sending their kids to our school, letting us have the opportunity to help partner with them and form their children in their Catholic faith. And I would ask them to share with their family, their friends, that we can all make this a possibility if we all pitch in and help.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love it. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour, talking about education. And if somebody is interested in enrolling their kids, or interested in just checking up on Catholic education, particularly these ideas about how to pay for it, where should they go?
I would start at the Archdiocesan website, Minneapolis, St. Paul. There is a link there to all of the Catholic schools, so that you can contact and find a school in your area. But feel free, reach out to the school, the parish. We'd be happy to talk to you. And I know each and every school and parish would be happy to talk to you and work you through the process.
And there's always a way to pay for it.
Always a way to pay for it.
I'm always amazed when I meet families that have three or four kids in Catholic schools, and I find out what they're doing for a living, and thinking to myself, well, how do you pay for all of that? But you know what? Where there's a will, there's a way. And I think that when the kids grow up and they look back and they see the gift of education that their parents gave to them, it's going to touch their heart deeply to know that their parents sacrificed. Before I let you go, just one more thing, and that is I want to talk just briefly about grandparents, because you brought this up earlier in the show. This seems to me to be a very powerful, powerful avenue for kids to get a Catholic education, is via their grandparents, not only their prayers, but the finances.
That is correct. I am grateful for all grandparents, for their prayers. Many of our grandparents have benefited from a Catholic education, and so they're living a life right now that helped form them, and much of it was formed through the education that they had. So they're paying it forward, and they're helping their grandkids, and we are forever grateful for that, and we are thankful.
Very good. Mike McGinty, headmaster at Epiphany, Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids, and I want to encourage you today that if you've thought about putting your kids into Catholic school, but you thought to yourself, I don't know how I would possibly pay for that, I want to encourage you today to take that step of faith. To take that step of faith, and as Mike McGinty said, go to the website of the Archdiocese, archspm.org, and look up all of the links to the schools, and start to investigate, but really start to pray too. Think about it. These little kids that God has entrusted to you are going to live somewhere forever, and if you can give them the edge in life, the edge of learning the right view of marriage, the right view of family, the holy view of ethical behavior at work and so forth, wouldn't you want to give it to them? And when it's all said and done in life, the sacrifice that you make for just these few years to put your kids through a school, isn't it worth it? I know that in our family it is, and our family's been, you know, for years in Catholic education with our three girls. My son-in-law even is at De La Salle in administration over there. We have been very, very pleased with it. When we come back, we're going to be talking to another headmaster. We're going to take a step up as far as grades. We're going to move from elementary and junior high all the way up to high school. We're going to talk with Dr. Todd Flanders, and he's out at Providence Academy. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. The stories of exceptional customer service, fair pricing, and totally pressure-free sales at Sac Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine are all true. But when we heard from Father Peterson at Sacred Heart Parish, we asked him to tell you personally.
I'm Father Brian Peterson from Sacred Heart Parish in Robbinsdale. When my car was having trouble and the transmission was on its last line, I decided it was time to get a new car. And I went to Matt Sack Chevrolet in Belle Plaine. My favorite part? Certainly the driving experience, getting to try out the new cars. But ultimately, it was that personal attention that I felt from those who worked there, as well as from Matt Sacks himself, to really provide the vehicle that I knew would be necessary for all the work that I do. People were kind, friendly, and it helped to know that there were people of faith in that place.
Enjoy the experience of buying a car or truck again. Visit Sac Chevrolet and Buick in Belle Plaine, just a few minutes south on Highway 169. Call them first if you'd like, 952-873-2234, or online at sacchevybuick.com. You'll like their attitude.
I have carved on
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we're talking about Catholic education today. And Catholic education is, of course, a great way to form your kids to the worldview of Jesus. And it's been a big gift in America since the Catholic schools have come on the scene, and they've contributed so much, not only at the elementary level and junior high and high school, but the college level too. Truly, Catholic education has been a part of forming our country. And in the Twin Cities here, we have some really, really good schools. And there's a lot of parents who have been sacrificing and sending their kids to school. As I said, it's a great way to form your kids. But I would suggest one other thing, and that is this. It's a great way to evangelize your kids. One of the problems that we do face is that our kids are catechized. That means that they know some of the basics of the faith, although I would contend that we need to do a better job of that, of really catechizing and passing the faith on to our children. But prior to that, there is the evangelization. At some point, a youngster, whether it's in elementary, junior high, or high school, or college, has to say yes to Jesus. And once you say yes to Jesus, then it's followed by tremendous formation. And sometimes in high school, that happens at the same time. Joining us today is Dr. Todd Flanders, and he's coming to us live from Providence Academy out in the western suburbs. Dr. Flanders, how are you?
Jeff, good morning. We are great, and it's not just me. I am in my class on Reason and Revelation with seniors, so we are actually in a senior class live here.
Fantastic. We get to join you. Say hi to all of your students there. I'm glad that you could join us today on the Rediscover Hour.
Pleasure to be with you.
We're talking about Catholic education. I do have a couple of questions a little bit later here for your students, but Dr. Flanders, when it comes to Catholic education at the high school level, what do you see as the biggest differences and the selling points of a Catholic education over a public education?
Oh my goodness, there are lots of those, Jeff. You know, I think that the world out there today is yelling at all of us, but certainly yelling to young people in a big way. You know what? Nothing is true. Nothing is really stable, certainly in the realm of values. Nothing is true. And so your job as a young person, a young adult, is to figure out how to create yourself somehow out of nothing, how to kind of follow your will, follow your desires, create yourself into whatever you want to be. And while there is a way that I think that we can think about that authentically, the problem is, unless we think about it by helping young people realize that first and foremost what we are is a precious creation. We're mm-hmm. created in the image and likeness of God. And if we overlook that fact, we are left with a big, big hole in our hearts, and young people are invited by our culture to fill that hole with just any old thing other than God.
So when you're looking at the curriculum at your school, at the high school there, you're not just thinking about math and biology and science, but you're also thinking about the human soul and the destiny of the human soul. What goes into a Catholic education that you would say points them to heaven and motivates them to want to live that life?
I'm looking around at my seniors in math and biology and science. There's a lot of that, too. But what's interesting, of course, is that we wouldn't have math or biology or science if God hadn't sown intelligibility, understandability into the nature of things. So what we would try to do in all of these disciplines and situations is to try to suggest what we're doing is investigating the handiwork of God. Well, what a Catholic school can do beyond that, of course, is we can worship together, we can celebrate together. We also can, in religion classes, roll up our sleeves and get down to fundamentals. And I loved what you said, Jeff, just before we came on air. You talked about evangelization as being key. I would say I think evangelization at the high school level is at the forefront, the foremost. Why? Because young people have decisions to make. The kids, the 23 kids sitting around this room right now are going to be going off to college in just a handful of months. They're going to be gone. They're going to be gone from us. They're going to be gone from their parents. They're going to be living lives on their own. Faith is going to be theirs. It's going to be their decision. Or choosing to live a life away from God, that's going to be entirely theirs too. So what we want to be able to do is to propose as strongly as we can, as beautifully as we can, the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, and try to help them understand why we think this is true and good and beautiful, and why we think that the alternatives end up being idols.
Let me ask you this. We're talking with Dr. Todd Flanders out of Providence Academy. He's live in his classroom, has 23 students with him right now. Dr. Flanders, you're familiar with the good work of Frank Sheed, who was an apologist in England and oftentimes stood up in Hyde Park and proclaimed the gospel. He made a very, very interesting observation. He said that oftentimes in Catholic education, students go from first grade all the way to, in the United States, 12th grade. And he says, unfortunately, they end up with what he called a heap of Catholicism or a pile of Catholicism, but they weren't able to really organize it and to put it into practice in their lives. And that reminds me of what the Vatican II document Gaudium et Spes, the Church in the Modern World, said, and that is that the Holy Father said that one of the great travesties today, one of the greatest problems that we have, is a split between faith and everyday life. Can you comment on both those? One is, are students ending up with a pile of Catholicism, or where does thinking and reasoning and putting this into practice come in? And the second part of that, bridging the gap between faith and everyday life. Does religion have anything to do with science, math, and biology?
The answer to that one is yes. I'm going to go back to Frank Sheed here for a minute, and a nice little plug. We teach Frank Sheed's theology for beginners here in our high school. We look to Sheed as a great master, and part of the reason we do is because we understand that he gets evangelization very, very well. Listen, I love this phrase, heap of Catholicism, and I think that can be a big temptation in a Catholic school. Obviously, we want to propose Catholicism. We want to introduce more and more, richer and richer, jewels of Catholicism. But if it ends up to be a heap that you just haul off with you, where does a heap usually go? It goes to a place where you just heaps on heaps. The question is, do you have a relationship? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus' Father? Do you understand? Do you have some kind of a contact with the idea that the Holy Spirit is working with you, even working with you when you're in a dark moment, in a dark time? If all we hand on is a heap of Catholicism, Jeff, I'm afraid that the world may win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the world isn't going after piling up heaps. The world is going straight for hearts.
Yep, yep.
World is going straight for hearts, and unless Jesus can go straight for the heart, the battle can be unbalanced, if I can put it that way. So I think that actually gets at the other part of your question about faith in everyday life. Unless we are able to bring a faith, grow a faith, want to leave high school with the desire to grow in our faith, we are going to see a disjunct between faith and everyday life. If we feel the call of love, the relation of faith in everyday life is going to grow and strengthen.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put. Let's talk about parents just for a moment. I have three girls. They have all gone through Catholic education. I've heard over and over, as well as I'm sure that the parents of your 23 seniors there have heard, that parents are the first catechist. Pope John Paul II made this very clear, that parents, you are the first formators. You're the ones that really are going to stand before God and give an answer for the raising of your children. In fact, I even found in canon law, canon 796 says that parents have a responsibility to work with the school in forming their kids. I guess, Dr. Flanders, it's kind of a chicken and egg question. Which came first? Is it the parents who have this prime responsibility, or is it the school? How do the two work together?
Well, the two need to work together in harmony, and it's an exciting adventure. There are parents today who want Catholic schools, who themselves are very, very well catechized, very, very well formed and trained, and want a Catholic school to participate directly in that. There are others who might look at their own background and formation and think that, golly, it would have been nice if my formation had been richer and stronger, and it'd be nice for us to have our kids have a better opportunity for a richer, stronger thing. So what happens in a lot of cases, and I got to say it happens in my household too, is when you have young people who find themselves intrigued by the love of Jesus Christ, intrigued by the Holy Spirit. That comes back home. Mm-hmm. That inspires parents in new ways. So I think that there's a dynamic now that that's really, really rich. And certainly we need partnerships between parents and schools. But this kind of thing can go two ways. It can go more than two ways. It can involve the students themselves in evangelizing and catechizing parents.
Uh-huh. And I imagine you've seen that at your school.
I see it in the school. I see it in my own household.
Sure. How about if we talk to a couple of your students? I want to put them on the spot here. Is that okay?
That's okay. If you want to ask a question, I'm just going to ask those who want to come up toward the speaker.
Okay.
So go ahead, Jeff.
Great. Well, first of all, I want to thank all of you seniors at Providence Academy for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. I'm curious. You know, I didn't go to a Catholic school growing up. I grew up at Chaska. I lived in Chanhassen, grew up and graduated from Chaska. You, no doubt, as young people, have friends that are going to some of the public schools. How would you describe your education and your experience at Providence in compared to what you hear at public schools?
We've got John Michelson here. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Cavins. I actually transferred to Providence Academy 3 years ago from a public school, and I can say that my experience has been totally different in a very good way, and my dealings with Catholicism at public school were a lot less laid back than they were here, and I didn't have many opportunities to share my faith with others. Mm-hmm. But now I feel I can go to my friends who are at Providence and also at my old public school and share it in a way that I couldn't before.
So you see an obvious difference in what's happening not only in your mind but what's in your heart?
Of course.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, I have another question. If there's anybody else who would like to answer that particular question?
Anybody else want to answer that particular question?
You know, how do you see your education at Providence as being different than a public school in the area in what other students are experiencing? Have you talked with other students? Have you been dialoguing with them? Do you meet them at extracurricular activities and hear their experience and think, man, mine's different here at Providence? Anybody?
One thing is that faith and education come together, and the school actually makes it a reality. When I was at public school, I actually came from the same school as John did.
You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Trey Weebush. And when I came from there, you know, education didn't involve faith at all. Uh-huh. But at Providence Academy, you can really take and live out your faith. I mean, this morning I went to adoration before school, and that was such a blessing to be able to have that in school, in an educational environment, to have my faith and my education come together and form me as a young Catholic.
That's beautiful. I have another question before I get to that. I'm just curious. I'll throw it out to the classroom, Dr. Flanders. Is there anybody that didn't particularly want to go to a Catholic school, but mom and dad made them go to a Catholic school, and today they're saying, Mom and Dad, thank you. Thank you for doing this. We have anybody like that in class?
Will anybody step forward along those lines? Oh, I see somebody coming.
Okay.
She's going to have to, it's going to take her a second.
No problem. The question once again is, did you really not get that excited about going to Catholic school, but now that your parents put you there, you're thinking, thank you, Mom and Dad. Who am
Actually,
I talking
Megan
to?
Ontario, who's going to speak here, did a speech along these lines for us recently. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. My name is Megan Ontario, and I came to Providence in sixth grade, and I wasn't actually terribly excited to go to Providence because it was a Catholic school, and I kind of saw I mean, just kind of the way the popular culture portrays Catholics, like everyone is always praying, and there's nuns everywhere, and they're going to condemn me that I'm going to hell. So I didn't really understand what I was getting into, and I wasn't too excited about, because previously I went to just a Christian and non-denominational Christian school, so I was like, oh my goodness, they're going to be sprinkling like holy water on me, like how am I going to do this? But I can say that when I was here, I didn't feel condemned or segregated because of my other beliefs, and it's just like the atmosphere and the community here was something I had never experienced before, just with the whole faith aspect in the education and just the teachers and the students here, very welcoming, and no one has ever sprinkled holy water on me before, which I really appreciate.
But I'll bet you put it on yourself, though, once in a while.
I might get her yet before she graduates.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have another question, and that is this. You know, we were talking with your headmaster, Dr. Flanders, just a moment ago about this idea of the split between faith and everyday life. Does anybody in the class, and if you just tuned in, we're talking with seniors at Providence Academy with Dr. Flanders about Catholic education. Is there anybody in the class that would say that what I'm learning right now is going to have an impact on me when I'm, say, 30 or 40 years old? Does anyone see what you're learning now? You see yourself putting some of this into practice in 30, you know, 20 years from now when you're 30, 40 years old? And if so, how?
Yeah, my name is Elijah Flanders. I'm actually Dr. Flanders' son.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I think the stuff that we learn, not only in our theology classes, but really in every other class about how religion is integrated into every other aspect of life, and ultimately, I should say that every other aspect of life is really integrated into religion because that is what's most important. And it's not just what we learn in the classroom, but like Trey was mentioning earlier, we have adoration every Friday, and we have a chapel that's always open, and we have missionaries at the school who are ministering to the kids and really getting them involved in their faith. And once you get involved in your faith, when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, naturally you have questions about your faith. And one of the beautiful things about going to a Catholic school is that you could ask any of the teachers a question about Catholicism, and almost every single one would be able to give you a legitimate answer. So I think when you have that thirst for knowledge, for things that are really important, not only is that going to matter when you're 30 or 40, but that's going to matter every moment of your life from here on out, because when you realize that that's what's really important.
That's beautiful. Great. Boy, I'm very impressed. Makes me want to go back to high school.
Hey, listen, we've got Annika White here who wants to share something.
Sure. Go ahead, Annika.
Hi. I've been here since kindergarten, so this is my 13th year. And reflecting back as a senior on what Providence has given me, I think that the greatest gift this school has given me is that my faith and my outside life is not separate, but it's one. And it's encouraged to be one. And unfortunately, in society today, I think people like to keep their faith life separate.
Sure.
And kind of private, like not to be talked about with other people. But here it's encouraged. And going off to college, that's one of the greatest gifts because I know I will always be confident to be able to talk about my faith,
mm-hmm.
whatever way anybody has any questions, or I'll be sure on what I believe.
That's great. Thank you, Annika. And the rest of you, thank you for participating in the show today. And Dr. Flanders, we have about a minute left. Parents are listening right now saying, man, I want my kids to sound like that. In 1 minute, what's your advice to them?
Well, I take very seriously sending children and grandchildren to Catholic schools and insisting on formation. Yes, formation in the faith, not to heap up piles of Catholicism, but really to introduce, to teach, and to evangelize. My goodness, the class that we're in here is titled Reason and Revelation. And just before these kids go off to college, what we want to do is to say that reason and revelation are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to contemplate truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's St. John Paul the Great who said that, and we believe it powerfully, because the world is going to try to suggest to them that faith and reason are very separate, and reason on the world's terms is what it's going to want to see. We need to have new generations that rise and show that the truth is beautiful. The truth is a witness. The truth integrates everything, and the truth and love are ultimately the same thing.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Dr. Flanders, and all of you in the class. Thanks for participating today. We've been talking with Dr. Todd Flanders and a group of seniors at Providence Academy about Catholic education, and before that, Mike McGinty over at Church of the Epiphany, and the two really work hand in hand. You know, I can't help but believe that some of these students that end up in these great high schools, they started in elementary school, as Annika said, 13 years. And so we have this great cooperation between the elementary schools, the junior highs, passing on to the high school students and the high schools, and we end up with just great young people. In just a couple seconds that we have left, I want to encourage you, particularly grandparents, to really pray. Maybe you feel like you didn't do everything right with your own kids, but now you've got grandkids. Why not another shot? Why not be a part of sending your grandkids to one of these great Catholic schools, not only for good formation, but for evangelization? Well, it's been really good, and I encourage you to listen to the archive. Share this with families on Relevant Radio, all about Catholic education. And boy, I want to thank especially the young people out of Providence. They did just an absolutely great job. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Some big things happening around the Twin Cities. We'd like to tell you all about it.
Do you know a special young girl or boy who will receive their first Holy Communion this year? Then we'd like to invite you to shop at Holy Cross Books and Gifts for all of your first Holy Communion apparel and needs. You'll find quality communion dresses at excellent prices. All of the veils have been professionally steamed and are ready to wear. Our store carries a variety of wonderful accessories too, including communion ties for boys. Come and find an attractive selection of jewelry for their first communion, cross pendants, medals, tie tacks, rosary bracelets, and much more. You'll discover great quality gift items and save money when you shop at Holy Cross Books and Gifts. Grow in faith, share a blessing. On the border of Apple Valley and Lakeville, at Cedar Avenue and 160th Street, Holy Cross Books and Gifts, 952-953-6330, or on the web at holycrossbooks.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek with a look at some of the things going on around the Twin Cities. Jack Jezreel and Just Faith Ministries invites priests, deacons, and parish staff to a workshop on preaching gospel joy and leading inspiring communal prayer reflections. Mr. Jezreel will draw heavily from the emphases of Pope Francis' tenure to provide support in proclaiming a word that's inviting, joy-filled, and liberating. To RSVP or for more information, contact Marty Rowers in Catholic Charities Office for Social Justice, 651-647-2584. That's 651-647-2584.
The Knights of Columbus Council of St. Peter's Parish in North St. Paul will be holding a fish fry at the school cafeteria on three Fridays in March. That's March 6, 20, and 27. Cost is $10 for adults, $8 for seniors, $3 for kids. Carry-out orders are available. For more information, visit NorthSt.PaulKOfC.com. That's NorthSt.PaulKOfC.com.
Alan Ames will be giving presentations on healing at three different parishes in Minnesota next weekend. You'll be able to hear him next week right here on the Rediscover Hour. He'll be presenting at St. Augustine Parish in Austin, Saturday, March 7th. St. Henry's in Monticello, Sunday, March 8th. St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, Monday, March 9th. Come and listen to Alan's amazing story of God's love.
Good Shepherd Parish in Golden Valley. They're sponsoring two Lenten retreats. Men are invited to come Saturday, March 7th at 8:30. In the morning to noon, Deacon Tom Wininger will lead a retreat to guide men on finding meaning in their life. Cost, $20, includes continental breakfast and a pizza lunch.
And on Saturday, March 14th, Kelly Walquist will present the Lenten Women's Retreat at Good Shepherd. You're invited to come and hear Created to Relate, the Radical Role of Women in Family, Church, and Society. Cost is $20 to get tickets for these retreats. Contact Good Shepherd Parish, 763-544-0416. That's 763-544-0416.
All are welcome to join Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale for St. Pat's Night on the evening of Saturday, March 14th at 6 p.m. Enjoy a delicious catered meal of authentic Irish food and live Irish music and singers. Cash bar will be available. The cost is just $20 per person. Reservations required by March 6th. You can call Martha at 651-738-2646. That's 651-738-2646.
And don't forget the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, Saturday, March 21st at the University of St. Thomas Fieldhouse in St. Paul. Father Rich Simon, host of Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio, will be the keynote. Join men of all ages and walks of life from around the Archdiocese for a morning which includes mass breakfast, dynamic speakers, opportunity for confessions, and more. Theme of this year's conference, Conquering Sin. Register online at archspm.org. That's archspm.org. What's up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with Alan Ames about healing, and we'll also talk about the healing of the soul as we discuss sin and how to overcome sin. That's all coming up next on the Rediscover Hour.
And you can hear the Rediscover Hour Friday mornings at 9, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 9 on Relevant Radio.
Can you rediscover? Can you rediscover?
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org. and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.